All right, I believe we are now live, and welcome everybody to Rantpocalypse Talks Fear the Walking Dead. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly, and I can see I'm going to have to pull my push my mic up a little bit because I'm like way, way far back.
Yes, you can not, now you can see yourself, and you want to do all those things to where you adjust everything. Yes.
Well, I mean, you could have told me that, Mom, you're like way back there.
Well, and you like to get all up in your microphone. You like to know what your microphone had for lunch yesterday. And that's how you like to get up on your microphone. Me, I'm a little bit, whoa, man.
Did I get really big?
You just came in real big. Yes, and so sorry for you audio listeners out there. My mom is adjusting her camera settings for our live stream that we are doing on Facebook right now. So it's been so long since I've done this. I don't remember what the hell we do. I felt like we just come on here and blibber blabber
and
for like, you know, 30 minutes to too long. That's usually about how we do it. But it has been a very long time. We have not podcasted together since the Fear of the Walking Dead season 3 premiere.
Yes, and I am wearing the exact same shirt.
I think
it's the same shirt.
Am I wearing the same shirt? Have I actually changed clothes since six weeks ago?
I have not.
Nice. Well, I mean, hopefully it's not too terribly stinky.
I don't stink. I'm a girl. I don't sweat.
Oh yeah, like girls don't sweat. BS. Mm-mm. You girls can get pretty ripe from time to time.
Whatever.
Yeah, I totally know it. This is a weird thing that's been happening to me. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or
probably
if it's just the shoes. I hate your face. If I'm getting older, you're getting older too.
Because you happen to be
my mom for anybody new out there. But what has been weird for me lately, I got these like awesome shoes. I love the crap out of them. They were at Target, $30, which $30 is not like a super cheap shoe or anything like that.
It's a reasonably priced shoe,
and I freaking love it here. I mean, if you're watching this on the video right now,
let's see those shoes. I want to see if you can bend far enough.
Oh my God, I think I just broke myself. Okay. Yeah, so they're right there. Man, good Lord, is there got to be an easier way to show my shoe off than like basically wrapping around my head? But yeah, I love the crap out of these shoes. They're fantastic. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, they make my feet stinky, and the shoes stink themselves, like really bad when I take them
That's what happens when you buy shoes at Target.
Is that what it is? Because I've never
had
this problem
FYI,
before.
Okay, I'm older than you.
Yeah.
Because I gave birth to you.
Yes, that's how that typically
and
works.
And I broke my back a year ago.
Those are some sweet
house shoes. Shut up! But I do have shoes? On. I have on. See, look. It's my look at. Don't look at the dog hair on it.
Look, just take a look at this. You can totally see my sock, right?
Does say The Walking Dead.
No, those are some sweet. I like those. I've never seen those before.
Okay, but wait until.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. They don't match, but they are still Walking Dead. So
are they supposed to match? Yeah, don't hurt yourself over there. Don't hurt yourself trying to make me look bad on camera.
Look at these moves I got right here. Let me just put it behind my head. Somebody please take me to the emergency room now.
Yeah, exactly. You're just going to be stuck there as like a pretzel. So, I don't know what it is about these shoes. I love the crap out of them. I've bought two pair. But the main reason why I bought two pairs is because
the other one was stinky.
Yeah, they were super stinky, and I just don't know. I'm like, maybe it's the old age. Feet start to smell.
No. No. Well, unless you're not scrubbing your feet enough. I can't believe we're discussing this.
If you're a new listener, this is why probably either tuned out or you're keeping going. You're like, okay, where's this train wreck going at this point? Because they've talked about stinky feet for now about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It can't get any worse from here.
It can. But you need to scrub your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Like with like a washcloth or something, Justin.
I don't know what is this washcloth to speak of.
Scrub
these
your
are
feet
these are
a
my washcloths. God gave them to me right here. God gave me two beautiful washcloths that I can use over and over again.
Use a wash rag.
Wash rag?
Shut your mouth. And you know, they have little things that you can put down in your shoes to to make them not stink.
Well, I'll have to look into that because I love the crap out of these shoes and I wear them every single day and I do not wear socks, people. I'm sorry, you may think that's unsanitary. I will get out of the shower, dry my feet off, bam, putting on my shoes without the socks. And I've never had stinky feet before. I will put your face in my shoes and make you smell them. And you'll be like, oh my God, he's so right, because these shoes are like a decade old and they don't stink. But these shoes that I got a week ago, they are ripe. They are definitely ripe. So I don't know, what got us on shoe talk or anything. Maybe because, you know, everybody in the zombie apocalypse, they're jealous of my new shoes because they're...
Of new shoes, you know, exactly.
Yeah, they're not getting any new shoes. It's just a matter of, like, how many people will be out there looting all of the shoe supply.
And those shoes are going to stink.
Yeah, they're going to be
because
really
a lot of those people are dead.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, those ones as you're pulling off their feet, you're the ones, you know, like the new chick in Fear the Walking Dead.
Yes.
Still, I don't know her name, but you know how she's pulling gold teeth out, she's pulling rings off.
Was it Diana?
Who knows? Who knows?
That when I looked her up on IMDb, her name was Diana.
In real life?
No, not in real life.
Oh, on the show. Okay.
On the show, but I don't remember them ever calling her Diana.
Nope.
I will say. Jumping right into Fear the Walking Dead, jumping right into it, as you see me winking. She was, to me, one of the most interesting characters that we've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, she was
badass. I liked her.
Yeah, I liked her a lot, too, and then we just kind of lost,
Where did she go?
I don't know. She's one of those loose-end characters that we don't know... Will she be back next season? It's kind of like Luciana, you know, which is another character we actually saw in the mid-season. Mm-hmm. Well, not the mid-season finale, the season 3 finale. We actually saw Luciana again. She didn't speak. No talking from Luciana. Just a really mean scowl from Luciana to Madison. And that's really all we got from her. But when she left, we didn't really get anything from her either. It was just like, Luciana left last
bolted.
Night. We boned, zoned in, and then she bolted. So,
I watched the whole episode again to see where Diana went, because I thought, God, was I falling asleep? I don't remember.
Yeah.
We didn't see where she went.
No.
So,
no,
and
we did not.
So anyway, I was bummed about that. I hope she comes back because I liked her.
I think she'll be around. I mean, we left off with her because, you know, Alicia met that new doctor, and the new doctor basically fixed her completely as far as she could be fixed. I mean, that break was pretty dang nasty when that when one of those random scavenger dudes broke her freaking knee. Not her knee. Is that your fibula?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or was that the?
God, you're gonna make me look this up. I don't know.
I think
your shin bone. Yeah, your shin bone. I mean, it was disgusting. It was quite disturbing. There was the NBA playoff, not the playoffs. What am I talking about? The NBA season kicked off last night, and this one poor dude completely broke his foot, and it was disturbing. And that was on the same level of disturbing how the new girl broke her. Shin bone in Fear the Walking Dead. It was nasty. Whenever it was just like poking out of her leg, I was like, ooh, that's pretty grody.
I know. I actually looked away on that one.
Yeah, it was nasty.
Which is kind of surprising because they do a lot of nasty stuff that normally I just sit there and watch.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Most of the time I can make it through pretty much everything Fear and the Walking Dead throws our way. But there's something about when bones are sticking out.
Well, and yes.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I don't care about actual human beings. Sometimes I do, you know, if Glenn gets his head bashed in, Abraham gets his head bashed in. I've still yet to watch that back from when season 7 of The Walking Dead premiered. But whenever it's a bone just protruding out of a human's body, that one gets me quite a bit. So anyways, since we're jumping all around and everything, I just want to say, so what we're going to do in this podcast, we're just going to chit-chat about the Fear the Walking Dead Season 3 finale, the two episodes, the two-parter. Probably get into a little bit of episode 14 as well, just because I actually didn't do a review for it. I had been doing the little mini-reviews for each and every episode. Life happens, and I was not able to do that mini-review, so I'd kind of like to get some of your thoughts on more or less just like the... the major events that took place throughout, you know, episodes 14 through 16. We've got a few major points that we're going to hit on. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go like super in depth on every little minor detail that happened in the finale. And we're also going to just kind of discuss about season three overall for Fear of the Walking Dead, because we only covered the mid-season premiere. And then now we're, you know, coming back for the season three finale. So just right out the gate, I just want to ask you, is Fear the Walking Dead the most improved show you've ever seen on TV?
Definitely.
I think so, too.
You don't usually see a show start off really weak and get so much better. Usually it's the other way around. Usually the first season just blows you away. Yeah. And then the second and third, you go, God, what happened to this show? But they totally just knocked it out of the park, to use a sports analogy.
Nice.
I know you guys like the sports analogies. Because baseball's going on, basketball's going on, football's going on. I'm assuming we must love sports, right?
Yeah, get all those sports analogies. They knocked it out of the park. They hit a grand slam.
Yeah,
they slam dunked this season. Mm-hmm. They
jumped all the hurdles. They put
the puck in the goal. they you know, I don't know.
It was good. I loved it. Loved it. I think it was excellent. What do you think?
I completely agree with you. This season, okay, completely transparent time here. We wrestled back and forth over whether or not we continue to cover Fear of the Walking Dead. And I say we wrestle. It was all me, because I was like, oh, don't do this. Don't torture me. Don't continue to torture me with this show. But I did not want to cover season three. I was ready to be done. I was just like, oh, do we really have to keep covering it? I mean, it had gotten to a much better place at the end of season two, but I was still like, I don't really care. You know, the characters, I don't connect with them. The story is still subpar. There were just a lot of things. But man, hands down, most improved show ever. I can't even think of a show that comes to mind where, like you said, where it starts off great and then... You know, usually, it gradually gets worse and worse.
Right.
What is a show? What is a show that's like started off terrible and actually gotten better? Is there one?
Well, I think they're not usually allowed to have that happen because they don't get to stay on the air long enough.
That's true.
But because of the franchise that it's part of, and the biggest show on the face of the earth is The Walking Dead, so. You know, they're like, oh, come on, we've got to make some money out of this.
Yeah.
This has got to get good.
Yeah.
So
they give it a longer leash, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and it's weird, too, because you think, maybe the show gets better, but it's because they came in and changed, like, the showrunner or something like that. But it's the same dude.
We haven't got there yet.
No, we haven't got to the new showrunners. Mm-hmm. It's still Dave Erickson. I feel like... Sadly, I kind of feel like this may be his swan song for Fear of the Walking Dead, because the way that things ended, I'm really worried that it's not going to get any better than this. Like, I feel like we may have gotten like all that Fear the Walking Dead has to offer, and season four is just going to kind of be a letdown. I know that's weird. I hate to go into that negative, but it's just, I guess it's mainly because of the fact that They did such a great job with, we knew that we were going to have everybody in season two was kind of like spread out, right? At the end of season two. And then season three was all about coming back together. And then it was like spread out again. And it's like coming back together. And now once again, we are spread out. And which we know The Walking Dead, you know, they also love to do that as well. And it's like anytime they come upon some safe haven, it's immediately, you know, because they're... In their mind, they're like, oh, we got the prison now. We're great. Oh, we got Herschel's farm.
This
we're great.
Reminds me most of when the governor came in to the prison.
Yeah.
And we had, people scatter. That's what it feels like to me.
Oh, yeah. At the end of, what was that, season three? Whenever.
Don't look back.
Yeah. And was it like Rick? Rick was, holding on to Carl, and he says, "Oh," and that's when, you know, Carl was being a little biznitch and ate all the pudding and everything afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that. It feels like a show reset at this point with everything that's gone down. It definitely feels like a complete reset. But yeah, I 1,000% agree with you. I cannot believe how much fun I've had watching Fear the Walking Dead this season. I think it's been so fantastic. It's been like actually captivating, which is very weird. You know, I've been, I you know, I don't zone out when I watch Fear the Walking Dead this season. The only episode I will say, you know, since we're talking about kind of episodes 14 through 16.
Yeah.
I kind of zoned out a little bit in episode 14, the El Matadero episode, the one where Ophelia dies. Not my favorite of the back half. Like, I felt like that episode was just complete setup. We had, what was it, it felt like a 15-minute drug sequence with Troy and Nick where they're just, like, you know, tripping balls, and they're, you know, they've got the whole way that they did the visuals with the camera and everything, you know, where it made it seem like they were, you know, they were high, they were hallucinating, that kind of stuff. It was still fun, but that episode just did not do it for me at all.
Okay.
So did you like that episode? Or
I liked it. I'm so pleased with Fear the Walking Dead right now. I have a hard time just being very negative about the show, because it's just like, oh my God, this is so great. Yeah. But let me just ask you this.
Okay.
Because I know we ran into a little problem.
Yeah.
On one of your reviews.
Yeah, well, we did.
Because you said that at this point, Fear the Walking Dead, season 3, is better than season 6 of
Season 7? Season 7?
Season 7.
Yeah, the last season that we just had last year.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Of The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, was that a video? That was the video I put out about the whole crossover thing, right? And in that video, I mentioned that I thought this season was better than last season of The Walking Dead, and I still stand by that. I think it was a much tighter story. I felt like the plot was constantly moving forward. They didn't, you know, they didn't dilly-dally a freaking round, you know, just like hee-hawing about, like, we got to do this, and Negan's going to do that.
Not even at the ranch. They didn't stay there long. No.
The dam didn't last a couple of episodes.
The dam
broke really quickly. I get that it was kind of the dam was there throughout all of season 3. Yes, I understand that. But it was more like a very minor subplot with Lola and Daniel that I didn't particularly care about. We knew that eventually all roads were going to converge on the dam. I didn't realize that that the ranch was going to just be eviscerated. I kind of thought that it was like they were going to need, you know, to bring in Daniel and Lola and the dam. And I always thought that Proctor John was going to come into that. Like, I always thought that he was going to, you know, that's a freaking major resource in the zombie apocalypse. There's no way that this Proctor John dude wouldn't have had his hands in it some way, somehow. So I always knew that he was going to, like, I always felt like he was going to be the ultimate big bad in season 3. I just wasn't sure, like, how our characters were going to play, like, what role they would have to play in that. Like, would Daniel just be, go completely nuts, which he more or less kind of did, but I think that it was rightfully so, how he, you know, how he did go nuts. Like, this is the first time his character's kind of gone off the deep end where I thought it was actually believable. I know a lot of people, I read some reviews, and I watched some YouTubers. I think I watched Ronnie, and I think I may have watched the Trev. If you don't know them, it's Trev's Chan 2, I think, is his channel, and then Make a Path Presents is Ronnie Hayes' channel. And then I always read IGN whenever they review for The Walking Dead, which they only, they did just like us. They did the mid-season.
It's intermittent.
Yeah, exactly. And they all were like kind of, they called bullshit on the fact that Daniel more or less sniffed out that Troy was the shepherd of the herd.
Okay, please.
Did it bother you? I mean.
Yes, that did bother me. That was stupid, because how is he going to, every well, basically every herd needs a good shepherd, you know, and that the only way they would have ended up there is being led there. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah. No, I can totally see it. It's like one of those things where I just, that was one where I didn't let it bother me, mm-hmm. you know, like episode 14, it did affect me with, I thought that it was a filler episode. But with this, I didn't think it was definitely weird. There's no doubt about it that I'm just like, yeah, come on, bro. Like, why would you all of a sudden, and like, even the way that whenever he first interacted with Troy and he's like calling him a bandejo and mm-hmm. you know, he knows nothing about Troy. Like, I get it. The viewers, us, we know that Troy
Yeah, we're like, yes, he is a bandejo.
Yeah, and he, you know, he's a little bit racist, mm-hmm. you know, and we all know that about him, but Daniel doesn't know that, and all Daniel knows is this dude is coming to him with like, hey, these people are coming to take your shit. You should prepare a little bit for this. It's kind of like that whole like Michonne and the governor vibe, yes. you know, where it's like, why mm-hmm. the hell is this person mad at this other person? All they're doing is being like doing nice things for them.
Yeah. Here's a place to sleep and something to eat.
Yeah. Hey,
asshole.
I'll go light these charges and have bombs that could potentially blow me up. Mm-hmm. I'll go do that. I got this one for you guys. No, what do you mean? You can, you know, college boy, you're going to go set the charges. Right. Yeah. So that's a little... You've won me over, Mom.
Okay, that part.
Now, coming back around, that was stupid.
That part was just dumb. That was all.
Yeah,
you know,
it was a little bit idiotic. So,
did you think he was going to actually torture? Seriously, I can't turn my phone down.
You haven't figured that one out yet.
It's a very peaceful
ringtone.
It is peaceful. It's the new update, and there's a couple of people.
Yeah.
That I say, even when it's in silence. That it's okay
they
for them.
Through.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it meant, even though I had the little thingy turned down.
Yeah.
So I'll have to change that.
Did I make the list, Mom?
Yes. Only you and Glenn.
Thank you. Oh, I feel mm-hmm. special now. Were you going to ask me, did I think that...
That he was actually going to torture him.
Torture Nick? For a second there, I did. For a second mm-hmm. there, I did. I was like, damn, Daniel. You're about to go off the deep end here and torture poor Nicholas, but it would have been interesting had he done it, you know. But I felt there for like a split second that maybe he was going to do it, but then no.
I thought he was.
You did. You thought he was going to do it. How would you have felt if he did that?
It would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. I mean. I'm assuming at this point that Nick is really bulletproof, even though we don't see him live. I feel like he's going to make it to next season. I'll be really disappointed if he doesn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, if half of his face was peeled off because he got tortured.
Well, he did the, remember when he tortured that one guy, the military
the
guy,
boyfriend.
It was his arm. I mean, it was disgusting.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was horrible.
Yeah, that was a really really nasty torture technique that Daniel mm-hmm. was employing. Mm-hmm. End of the day, I agree with you. You've won me over. It was an idiotic thing that the writers put in there. I don't know why they did that. Like, there's plenty of other ways. At the end of the day, it didn't even matter with Troy. So it was kind of like unnecessary drama. I guess I get where Daniel's coming from in the sense that he wanted to get vindication for Ophelia's death and everything, but...
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah?
How did you feel about Troy ultimately going?
Oh, well, I think for both deaths I was kind of annoyed, for Ophelia and Troy. I think with Ophelia, the ends justified the means a little bit more, I felt, than Troy's death. I get, like, with Ophelia, it's setting Daniel on a path, mm-hmm. and I think it's gonna be very interesting in season four, the path that Daniel takes. If he comes back in season four and he's Mr. Nice Guy towards Madison and everybody, I'm gonna be so ticked off. Like. The fact that he even came up there to help Nick kind of annoyed me a little bit, just slightly, you know, mm-hmm. but I get it. At the end of the day, it wasn't Nick that did anything, but Nick was still protecting Troy. So Ophelia, I was a little bit, at first I was annoyed that she died because it kind of felt like that whole thing with Luciana almost, where it's like, well, you know, I don't know how well the show's doing. So you got this other show you could probably be doing. How about we just let you go and do this other show? We'll kill you off.
What show is she doing?
No, I don't know. That's just what felt like. That's what it felt like to me a little bit. Because it was so sudden. But but then when I thought about it a little bit more, I'm just like, oh, okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. Troy's death pissed me off.
Yeah.
It completely pissed me off. I wrote down in my notes, loose ends make my ass itch, to quote Abraham. And yeah, like Troy's death to me, it just felt like a loose end that the writers didn't want to scratch properly, because I get that it showed off who Madison truly was.
Right.
Like, I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. But the impact that Daniel Sherman, whatever his name is, the guy mm-hmm. that plays Troy, has had in season 3 was so great.
He's been so good.
Yeah, he's been so damn good. And to think that
we
not
don't get
be...
any more Troy. And and the Troy Nick combo mm-hmm. was really, really good. I liked them a lot, and I liked them more and more as we went along.
Yeah.
So the only thing that I saw with it was just to pull into question whether or not Nick was going to save his mom after seeing her just brutalize Troy. That was the only thing that made me, but it was just too much of a small impact.
Yeah.
With what it did to the rest of the story. I hated to see him go. I hated that.
Oh, it was so sudden too that it shocked me when it happened. I was like, mm-hmm. what? Oh, and you know, cause I mean, she took that hammer right to his head, and it was disturbing, mm-hmm. the way it went down. I agree with you. I think that it ultimately is going to, you know, it's going to drive a wedge between Madison mm-hmm. and Nick. And I think that'll be interesting to see play out in season 4, but that still doesn't mean that, I mean, Dan, or Troy was so good. Daniel Sherman mm-hmm. was so good in that role. I thought he was fantastic. I did like this. This is something that Dave Erickson had to say, and I thought this was really perfect. And after he said this, I was like, well, damn it. Okay, I get it. I get why you had to kill Troy off, because there was a part that it was going to play out. Like, they had originally written a story where Troy did not die. He was not originally written mm-hmm. to have his character killed off or anything. But last minute, I think Dave Erickson changed some things around. It was like, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, bro. I got to kill your character.
You know why? Because they fired me as showrunner, and I don't want this show to be good next year.
Exactly, yeah.
I am killing off the interesting characters.
Yeah, they talked all that shit about me in season 1 and season 2, and then they mm-hmm. were like, every article's like, Fear the Walking Dead, so improved. Numbers still suck. Most improved show. The writing's so much better. The action's so much better. Blah, 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 whatever. But yeah, so now he's like, well, you thought it was bad before, but now mm-hmm. the show's going to suck even more. So he did
know what it could be.
Exactly. Yeah. You got your look at how good it could be. So he had this to say, and I don't know where I cut it off, but I'll just read at this point. It said, I think it was in that moment where Madison kills him, she realizes that I tried to do the right thing. I tried to offer charity, and I tried to offer kindness, and I let him go. And now because of that, the ranch is gone. The dam is compromised. And I think that's the moment where Madison comes full circle, Erickson says. That's the moment where she realizes, this is who I am. Nick's not wrong. That violence is ingrained in her. And what she realizes is that she deviated from that course. She wasn't true to herself. Okay. And people suffered because of it. And so in that instance, she decides to put him down. So we talked about that before, that like, Madison, where's the ruthless Madison, right?
Mm-hmm. The problem is they didn't show that to us, that was her reasoning. It just seemed just really out of left field that she kills him for no reason. You touched my hand, bitch, while I was putting that C4 up.
That was a loving touch.
I wanted to explore that more.
That's where I was like, no, we gotta explore what the hell that touch was. Like,
this is so good. This is gonna be so great. And yeah, so to kill him off, there was too much stuff. There was just too much stuff left.
Yeah, there's a lot of people speculating. They're like, is he really dead? Did he, you know, did, is he gonna be alive in season four? And even IGN's review, kind of like they left it hanging, and of course, like the comment section just completely ridiculed and destroyed that reviewer. But he didn't truly die. Like we didn't see him like his last
floating
breath.
Yeah, you know, face down.
Yeah, and I liked how they showed him. You know, they mm-hmm. showed him as the water right. came in. They mm-hmm. even kind of showed it. It looked like it was, you know, would have been going over that person's body, but the camera was, you know, to illustrate that the water coming over the body. But
so it could have woke him up. That water coming on him could have went, woo, woo, woo,
yeah.
you know.
I mean, his head looked pretty caved. Well, not caved in, but it just
looked
like
not any worse
than
Daniel's face.
That's true. That is very
true. And Daniel is an old dude, and he survived.
That's hey, what are you trying to say about them old dudes? We're getting there.
Yeah, you fall closer to the Troy age than the Daniel age.
Well, shit, Troy died. Apparently, the old people can't kill those old dudes. You're like, I tried to kill his old ass, but he just kept coming back.
He keeps coming back.
Yeah, speaking of old dudes, it keeps coming back. I just wanted to, while we're in the conversation about it, I did not want to forget this. I loved it so much when Jeremiah Otto, which it you know wasn't the actor or anything, but it was his grave that Madison was on during those dreamlike sequences mm-hmm. And he grabs her and is pulling her in the dirt. And I was just like, oh, my God.
What does that say?
I was like, this is so awesome. I loved it. But, yeah, what does it say about Madison?
Well, I mean, she the turkey turned into his severed head in the middle of the table.
I loved it. Yeah. There was a lot of people saying that they didn't like the dreamlike or the dream sequence. I thought it was fantastic.
What was really interesting to me was the fact that it was all males around the table. There, mm-hmm. Alicia was not there. There were no females. It was just Madison and all the dudes.
All the dudes.
They all looked great, cleaned up.
Yep.
Even Nick cleans up good.
Yeah, I guess. I wasn't paying much attention to him. I don't know. I saw him with Luciana and mm-hmm.
He looked good.
Yeah, no, he did look good. I love that he snubbed her. Hey, what's going on, Tammy? I'm glad you actually liked the finale. That's awesome to hear. We both loved it as well, I think. We haven't actually gave our thought like overall thoughts, but we've just been kind of random chit-chatting about everything, all the big events that happened.
Yep.
So in that dreamlike sequence, okay, so it was all the males and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so you were asking, well, you know, what does that mean and everything, and
yes, Justin.
Oh, what does it mean?
Does that mean?
I mean, the only thing that I deduced from it was just that she's losing her kids, like she's losing the grip on her what is ultimately her center. You know, that her whole goal mm-hmm. and mission in life was to protect her kids. And she can't do that anymore. And she's figuring out that they don't want to be around her. And that was the only thing that I really gathered from that. I liked it because I thought it was cool. You know, she had that conversation with Strand in episode 15 mm-hmm. when they're on the top of the dam. And, you know, he's like, what do you see? And she's just like, nothing. I see nothing. And he's like, you got to try a little bit harder. Like, you know, visualize it in your mind. Like mm-hmm. All the possibilities and potential, and you know, and she tells him that more or less like I wanted to be at the ranch, and like I wanted you know Christmas,
the traditional
Christmas mm-hmm. with her family, and I
right.
did like
she's
that.
An over decorator, I will say that.
I love it. I loved it. I was like, take me home for Christmas, Madison. Like that is an awesome Christmas
it was great.
Celebration, and yep. I love the fact that. You know, we got racist Jeremiah over here, and Strand is kissing him on his head. And,
I know, it was so great. Yeah, it was great.
And Daniel and Strand, you know, because they've hated each other so much, and you know, Strand
giving
throws him
gifts
the gift,
and
mm-hmm. yeah, and Daniel gives him the like the shooter McGavin, like yeah, you know, you're my bestie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the dream sequence was great. To me, I feel that it fit in because that was what was ultimately going on with Alicia and Nick. Like, they were trying to distance themselves from Madison, and it goes along with what Madison and Nick, the conversation that they had together, that whenever she kills Troy and Nick comes out and he basically said, you know, thinking you'd kill me if you didn't have a choice. And yeah, and the way that they don't want, you know, they have the baby, him and Nick and Luciana, they've got the baby and everything, and they just don't want Madison to be a part of its life because of who Madison truly is and everything. I don't know, that's what I got out of it. I don't know if that's correct or incorrect, but that's just what I was feeling as I watched those dream sequences. You know, she's kind of realizing that, you know, she's the ultimate cause of all of the distance that her family wants to have to get away from her. So,
but it's very interesting that even though those kids want to get away from her, they both went out of their way to protect her and make sure that she lived.
Yeah.
Nick stayed on the dam, told her to go. Yeah. I'll blow it up. You go. Yeah. Alicia, you know, doesn't want to say who her mom is, that, you know, she was going to stay with Proctor John, and she said, I'll go with to Texas, to Houston with you. Just leave my mom alone. So
it is true. They still protect her. They still love her in the end, but they're like, bitch, stay away from me. You know, you get on this side of the road, I'll get on this side of the road.
But Alicia was in the boat with her. She was happy to be in the boat.
Well, of course she was
happy. She didn't have to. She could have said, look, you go, bitch. I'm going to die with you, Nick.
Well, she don't like Nick either. She's like, can I get a new family? Where's the new family
game?
Yeah,
I want Proctor John
that I
want to
be
family.
Yeah, Proctor John. No, I don't think she wants Proctor John. But yeah, if there's a new family game out there, she will definitely join that and sign her up. But, okay, so we talked about Ophelia. We talked about Troy. I think we're both in agreement that we were both upset that Troy lost his life. Or I think at this point, it's 99.99% chance that he's not coming back to the show. The fact that Dave Erickson came out and said that, like, you know, having to put him down or whatever.
You know what, though? Kirkman is great at lying about everything. You know, he said forever and ever, there will be no crossover. These are two separate worlds. They're not even the same thing. And
that's
now we are being told that there's going to be a crossover. So maybe Dave Erickson decided to take he's like, see, Robert Kirkman, I can do what you want.
I can lie. Yeah.
I can lie.
Yeah, but he did say where she kills him. That one's a little bit tough to move past, where she kills him. If it was like, you know, where she strikes him over the head and he falls and looks like he's dead.
That's too. Looks like he's dead. That's too open to.
Exactly. Yeah. You know. Could get away with it there.
You be that way. I'm just gonna keep dreaming that he's still alive.
I'm with you. I think Troy was. if we're looking at the Walking Dead universe as a whole, I think Troy is one of the most interesting characters on either show. Like, I just there's just something about it. I don't know what it is. I just think season 7, I don't want to harp on it because I am genuinely excited about The Walking Dead coming back, and I'm pumped to see our characters, and you know, I want to find out what's going to happen with Rick and Carl and Negan and Morgan and Maggie and Daryl and just everybody. Like, I want to find out what's going to happen with them. I don't know what it is with me right now, but I just have really enjoyed this season of Fear the Walking Dead, and you know, I'm like, Troy's one of the best characters I've seen on either show at this point.
Right.
And
I think part of it is not knowing with The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. Gimple likes to go by the comic books so much that you can kind of get a pretty decent idea of what's going to happen. And that's kind of a bummer for me.
It is. It's a big bummer. I don't want to know that. I mean, I get that I love Game of Thrones. And you can go read the Game of Thrones books. And obviously, whenever there were books to adapt to the TV screen, they were pretty close. I mean, they they took some liberties with, you know, maybe a different character in the book did this action, and in the TV show that another character did it. But for the most part, for the first five or so seasons, it was pretty, like, pretty closely adapted mm-hmm. from the books. And I still loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I know that I could have gone out there and spoiled the crap out of myself and read all of the books. I read the first three, but it didn't bother me because I'd already watched the TV show. So now with the comic books, with The Walking Dead, I've already read the comic books. So I do, like, yeah, like you said, I
had to stop.
Yeah, it's
because I didn't
smart.
Want to spoil.
It's very smart, and you're right. The fact that I would have never guessed in episode 14, boom, Ophelia dies. Episode 15, mm-hmm. boom, Troy dies. You know, episode 16, Lola dies, which, you know, whatever. But the dam gets taken away. Like, this new Proctor John character comes in and, you know, basically recruits Alicia. And we just have all these things just, like, going off at the same exact time. Mm-hmm. And just there were so many, you know, things that happened, I think, in the back half of season three that were somewhat unexpected. I think we both thought Jake was going to be ultimately a goner. But, you know, Travis dying, holy shit. That was...
Yeah, that was a big surprise.
That would be like Daryl just suddenly dying off.
15 seconds, yes.
You know, that's... Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I get that... I still don't agree with how his character was killed. I understand that it was a part of the fact that he had to go make 15 billion Avatar movies or whatever
exactly.
the crap he's got to do
for the next 20 years.
Yeah, he'll be 80 years old and he'll be like, you know, Avatar
covered
in
blue
up.
Stuff.
Yeah, he'll be a blue man. So, okay, so speaking of new characters, what do you think about the Proctors? I did not see that coming, where it was going to be an MC club. Yeah. I just thought it was Proctor John, and he mm-hmm. was Proctor John. I didn't get that it was the Proctors. And I will say that I absolutely loved him. It's Ray McKinnon as the actor. Mm-hmm. He was awesome on Sons of Anarchy. He was awesome on Deadwood. I did mm-hmm. not know this until I went and looked him up a little bit more, that, holy shit, he is the creator of Rectify, which is a fantastic TV show that you can go watch, I think, all the seasons on Netflix at this point. So,
yeah, he's pretty amazing. And I think as a bad guy, well, I mean, he's definitely the what the show has needed is we've needed a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And he's perfect for it. Absolutely perfect. So
yeah, I think so, too.
I love him, and I hope they keep him around for a little while.
I do too.
If he dies in the dam, that'll suck.
Yeah, that will majorly suck. I honestly thought they were going to introduce him a little bit earlier than they did. It felt like, I was like, holy crap, they're really dragging this Proctor John, you know, mm-hmm. guy out. Like, when are we actually going to see Proctor John?
The fear of him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. It's kind of like the whole Negan thing, you know, where it's like you keep hearing Negan's name over and over again. And, you know, now they're doing it with this Proctor John guy, which I don't compare the two at all. Like, they are completely different. In my eyes, like, you know, Proctor John is a horrible, horrible dude. Like, in my opinion, there's no gray area with him. Like, even as bad as it was when Negan came in and bashed Glenn and bashed Abraham in the head, he was pushed. And pushed mm-hmm. and pushed mm-hmm. to do that. I mean, Lola didn't do shit to him. Didn't mm-hmm. do anything. She was just trying. She was actually giving water to the people. You know, he just blew her head off. Like, mm-hmm. it was
bad. All the people that were dam workers.
Yeah, exactly.
They were shooting them and throwing them off the side. It was just, he was horrible.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, you screw up my surgery, even though you're the doctor and we need a doctor.
Yeah.
You're gonna die. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I thought he was a much needed addition to the show.
Yeah, he's a nice mixture between the governor and Negan. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. he's like somewhere in there, maybe even like on Game of Thrones, a little bit Ramsay Bolton ish mm-hmm. as well, because he's very calculated with his actions, which mm-hmm. which I like. And I thought he was fun. I had a blast seeing him on the show. I was totally not expecting that to be who Proctor John turned out to be. didn't expect it to be this whole motorcycle club aspect, but given that Dave Erickson, he did a lot on Sons of Anarchy as well.
We should have known.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, it's Sons of Anarchy with zombies now. so I'm cool with it. I'm quite all right with it. We've had our villains somewhat of our villain. You know, we've had our villains be like these preppers. We've had our villains being these like crazy cartel groups, and we've had our villains be military, like U.S. military.
Right.
I'm all about, hey, give us an MC, give us a Sons of Anarchy villain group that we have to deal with in season 4. I'm cool with it. I like that. So you mentioned it earlier, and so Proctor John, his whole plan and what he wanted Alicia to do was to make his way or make their way up to Houston. So we know of a certain other character that was in Houston, and I don't know.
You called it. You called it.
I did call it.
You can
it.
Go
Thank
ahead
you.
And just
Thank
say
you.
It.
Thank you.
Just say it.
Praise me. Praise me, people.
Pat
praise
yourself
me.
On the back. You said it was that it would be great if they headed to Houston and they could run into Abe, obviously before Abe gets neonized.
Yes. And before he obviously meets Eugene and you know, makes his way over to, well, I guess to Washington is where they meet up with Rick and them. I know my geography, Mom. I don't know if you knew this, but Mexico, you know?
Yes.
It's it's a cool country. Mm-hmm. It's to the south of the United States. And there's this other state that is like, it's second,
basically in Mexico. Yeah,
it's the second biggest state, but we like to think of ourselves as the world's biggest state, even though we're not even the biggest state in the United States. And it's called Texas, and it's pretty close to Mexico. I mean, yeah, you can literally, you know, throw a rock over the Mexico and Texas border. And I knew the character Abraham, certain Ginge, likes to hang out in Houston, likes to, you know, kill bad guys in Houston. Yeah, so that's where I put two and two together there. So I don't feel like I was special, but
no,
I did call
see,
it.
My deal is when I think of where they are, you know, they were in Los Angeles and, you know, they went down to Baja, California.
Yeah.
So I still picture them in that part of Mexico, that they're close to Tijuana.
Yes.
I don't picture them being closer
to Texas.
Yeah,
no, I agree. By the way, I just wanted to point this out. I don't know if this was intentional or anything. The guy that played the doctor, the surgeon, I love that guy. He's not somebody you probably will never remember his name.
No, but I do recognize his face.
Yeah, he's got that recognizable face, character actor. His name in real life is James LaGrosse. And I thought it was hilarious to me because he was talking about Baja California. Again, this is my Easter egg for myself. But he was in Point Break back in the day. He played Roach in Point Break.
Okay.
And you know, you remember like they were always trying to get to Baja California or like Baja and you know all that kind of stuff. So, or maybe they were in Baja. I can't remember. I remember one of them died in Baja. Got stabbed. Mm-hmm. Rosie got stabbed, I think, in Baja. Whenever he said that, he was like, you know, I had some crazy shit happen to me in Baja, California.
Oh, and you're like, yes!
You're like, Point Break, mother trucker! Yes! Yeah, I don't know. That was just me. I went there. I don't know if anybody else in the world went there, because I immediately, I was like, who is this dude? Like, he looks so familiar. And then he said, you know, something about Baja, and I was like, looked him up, and I was like, oh my God, I was right. He was in Point Break. So,
look at you go.
I thought that dude was pretty interesting character. I still don't know what exactly he's done. He kind of gives me a creeper vibe. Like, I thought that we were going to get, like, in some rapey vibes with him and Alicia. Mm-hmm. Well, because he said, you know, he's like, I did something, but he didn't want to get into what he did. And he was giving me these creeper vibes with Alicia. Because at first I didn't know he was going to be connected to Proctor John.
Right.
But once I found out that, he's connected to Proctor John, we'll probably never find out what he did. You know, he's just going to be the surgeon at this point.
And that's his name, the surgeon.
The surgeon, yes. okay, so Do you have any other thoughts on Proctor John? I mean, we both hope that he's alive for next season.
I just hope he is. I want to see him go head to toe with, wait, does that, toe to toe?
Head to toe. Let me fight you. You've got your head, Madison. I've got my toes. No,
if you think about it, that totally was sexual when you say head to toe. That's totally.
Yeah.
I want to see him go toe to toe with Madison. Mm. And how awesome was it to, in talking about the dream sequence, man, I'm just trying to get off that real quick, to see Travis.
It was great. It was, I did love seeing Travis. I thought he was going to be in there more. I thought he was actually going to,
Give him a line.
No, they didn't give him a line. I thought he was going to be the one that came to the door, but it turned out to be Strand because, mm-hmm. you know, as soon as the dream sequence started, I was like, oh shit, we're about, you know, Travis, he's going to be mm-hmm. back on the show. He's going to get a cameo in this finale. Very similar to what they did in season 7 with Abraham coming back and everything mm-hmm. with Sasha. So I thought it was great. I loved it. I love seeing, you know, I thought it was so cool getting to see Jeremiah again. Mm-hmm. He didn't get a line, obviously, but then he got his head chopped off and he's just mm-hmm. squirting blood. And I loved how Taka, a.k.a. Walker, you know, mm-hmm. as soon as Jake tried to reach out to his dad, like Taka just goes, poosh, like, you know, I was like, holy
cut that
shit.
Arm off.
Yeah, I was like, dang, bro. Like, that's a little bit violent there, Walker. Which I don't know why I just always call him Walker instead of Taka. I guess, you know, he kind of goes by both, but. Mm-hmm. And just briefly mentioning them, it was cool to see Crazy Dog and him like help out and everything. And I'll be curious to see if he gets any role next season. It, you know, when you look at seasons as a whole, like there are like, you know, you can just kind of, you feel how you feel in the moment when you watch each individual right. episode, and then you right. look at them like as a whole. I do mm-hmm. think like Walker kind of got just relegated to sidekick all of a sudden. Like, I thought that he was going to be a bigger part of the show.
Well, that he was going to be a bad guy. And well, he really didn't end up being a bad guy. He was for a second, but...
Yeah, I never thought he was going to be the bad guy. I always just thought him and Madison were going to have conflict. And we, right. you know, we would have to look at him as the quote-unquote bad guy if you consider Madison mm-hmm. to be the good guy. I don't.
Which... Okay, but we're supposed to.
We're supposed to, mm-hmm. but I don't think any of her family is the good guy. Maybe no. Alicia. Alicia's no. the only one that yeah. I think is the, you know, the good guy, you know, the quote unquote good guy, and that's why she was dead. That's why she was in the grave, because Nick's the villain right. and Madison is the villain,
right.
and you know we just keep mm-hmm. silly, you know, seeing this villain origin story play out as opposed to, you know, a hero story. So. I don't know, but okay. So, I guess. So, do you think that's what's going to happen, though? Do you think that Abe is ultimately going to come onto the show?
I think so. I hope so.
I do too.
I'd hope it's him. That'd be fantastic.
Do you want him to stick around for a little bit, or do you just want yes. him to be like a one to two episode cameo?
Well, it'd be great if he would stick around. I don't see that happening. I don't. No. I think if we got him for two episodes, it would be, that's probably more than we should dream of.
Yeah. I think two episodes max is what we're, mm-hmm. is what we're going to get. And I think that makes the most sense with the crossover. We've talked about for a long time now, like, would it be the Whisperers and the origin story of the Whisperers? Yes, that would be cool. Mm-hmm. But we've talked off air, that we don't think that they've been planting enough seeds lately to make that happen. But I will say that in these three episodes, or these, I guess these two episodes, they kind of started to make me wonder a little bit more with the fact that, you know, Nick shows Troy the whole Walker, or, you know, the Walker blood trick, and then he's, you know, he's harvesting Walker heads to get...
And the brainstem thing, that
yeah,
that
was crazy.
Freaky.
That was weird.
Yeah, really, really weird. And then you want to get a fresh one, and, you know...
Yeah, that was very odd, and it did feel like, I'm like, well, maybe, just maybe, they're starting to get back on that train again, but I just don't, they couldn't do it properly, in my opinion, so, like, that's my thing, is, like, if you can't do it how it
don't
needs to be done, yeah, don't half-ass it, so, I think Abraham makes the most sense, and I would love that, I think that would be great. Abraham's a fan favorite. it would be awesome to see him show up on Fear, even if it's just for an episode or two. So yeah. I am all about that. So, well, do you have any final thoughts, like, about these two episodes? I'm trying.
Let me just ask you this: Who do you think is going to survive till next season? Do you feel like all the Clarks make it to the?
Yeah. I think we'll see Madison, Alicia, Nick. They'll all be there next season.
Okay.
We'll see Daniel.
If they took one away, who do you think they'd take away?
I think it's going to be Alicia. I think that's the one.
I already know that's not happening. So.
Oh, you do? Did you get spoiled to something?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, we didn't see her at all. You know, we saw Nick as the dam was crumbling. Mm-hmm. Daniel came up to him, and they looked like they were going to get away. We did not see Alicia. We did not see Strand. We saw Madison wash up, which looked like she washed up like 100 miles away from the dam or something. I was like, where the hell did you? How did this even happen?
She was right there.
All of a sudden, like this city is like.
Well,
right
all the people,
her.
All the people that were looking for water.
No, I know,
down.
But it looked like she washed up on a city, though. She looked like she literally washed.
Because you're
up,
talking
like,
about the you're talking about the concrete.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
that's
the
what
concrete.
They do. With the, I can't think of what they call those. We used to horseback ride in those.
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got gotcha. You. Yeah, I don't know what it's
but
called.
I don't know what the concrete thing.
The concrete, yes.
You know, the concrete-ish stuff.
The concrete palace of horse riding. Yes.
It's a stupid place to horseback ride.
Yeah, I was like, that's not the best place to horseback ride. But, I mean, it's like if
When you live in Los Angeles, you ride where you can.
Exactly. That's like you go to New York and you see people riding down horses, like down, like, streets. Yeah. And you're like, what the crap are you doing?
Yeah, the riverbed.
Yeah.
We used to ride in the riverbed.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think they're all going to survive. I think everybody's going to survive that we saw at the end. You know, obviously Walker, Crazy Dog, Strand's going to survive. Madison's going to survive. Daniel and Nick and Alicia. You know, so that's we got seven main. Oh, and Proctor John. Proctor John's going to survive as well. So we got those eight characters. I think that'll be like our focal point. Yeah, that'll be our main. Which it does suck. I'm like, dang, we lost all the autos. Like all those interesting autos that we got gone. You know, so. It does stink that we lost them, and RIP, big ups to the autos. You made season three great. Like, you made season three what it was for us, at least for us two.
Especially Troy.
I know you love Troy. You're creepy, just like Madison. You got a thing. If he touched your hand like that, you'd be like, ooh.
I would not hit him in the head with a hammer.
No, I didn't think she was either. I thought they were going to go to the bone zone.
I know. I thought so too. I was really disappointed.
Yeah, I thought Nick
and
was about
they,
to get
they,
new daddy.
Like accidentally, you know, hit the detonator.
Yeah.
You know, while they're going to the bone zone and, you know, it like explosions and they're like, wow, this is really good. We should have done this earlier because of all the explosions. And then they find out it's really the bombs, the C4 going off.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, that was my dream sequence.
Good Lord. Well, now that he's not on the show, maybe he's not, you know, maybe he's not as busy, Mom. So,
exactly.
Daniel Sharman, you know what I'm saying? My mom, you know, she's, she's
You seem to like older women.
The older women. And she's sort of quasi, like, available. Not really, you know. Maybe.
Not really. I mean, I'm married, but, he doesn't know.
For
TV
show characters, is that like a, that's a thing, right?
Thing. Yeah. No, that's a free pass.
Yeah, exactly. all right. Well, so if you had to rate Fear the Walking Dead, season three as a whole, but first the season three finale. So season three finale, what do you rate it out of five bacons? And then what do you rate season three as a whole?
Okay, the finale, I am going to give 4.80.
Wow, man, you're getting very precise with the slices of those.
I mean, you know, because I'm going to give it away. I'm 4.5.
Okay.
Because of Troy dying, I didn't like that part.
Yeah.
And the Daniel thing. Yeah. So, and I'm going to give the season three 4.5.
I think I'm going to go 4.25 bacons on the season three finale. I'm with you. The Daniel thing, after you convinced me to how idiotic
how
I was.
How bad you really hated it.
Exactly. And then you made me realize. I was like, oh my God, this was the worst thing ever. That. And then, of course, Troy dying. And then, you know, I did think that it felt a little rushed. Like, I did think that they were doing such a good job of, like, you know, having the story unfold, and they just kind of got to the dam. Like, everything was so convenient for them to all converge at the dam so quickly.
I gave them extra points for rushing it.
Yeah, I can see that. considering that we watched an entire season of The Walking Dead season that was literally getting the herd to go past Alexandria, and that was 9 mm-hmm. episodes. Mm-hmm. You know, I totally understand it. You know, sometimes you need it to be a little rush job.
A little rush is okay.
So yeah, 4.25 for season 3's finale, and then I'm gonna be with you 4.5 bacons out of 5 for season 3 as a whole. It was just fun. That's all I want. It was I wanted fun out of Fear the Walking Dead, and it gave us a shit ton of fun. So. We want to know you guys' thoughts. Let us know. You can email us. It's rantpocalypse@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook. It's just Rantpocalypse. You can go to our YouTube channel. It's Rantpocalypse. How easy is that? It's all the same at this point. Who would have thunk it with us? You can also go support us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/rantpocalypse. And you will be getting more discussions and chit chats from my mom. So just if you thought like, oh God, we stopped doing, you know, these things, we did not. We'll be back with more discussions. We're definitely excited for The Walking Dead season 8 that's coming up Sunday night. Stranger Things is coming up, and I know we want to at least have a discussion about Stranger Things. We're not sure if we're going to cover it episode by episode, but definitely some more chit chats TV shows that we love. So that's it, Mom. Thank you so much for doing this with me. It was a lot of fun getting to chat about Fear the Walking Dead. Fear the Walking Dead.
Yes, good job.
I don't want to do too loud. I mean, I could go a lot more excited. But you know, the microphone.
We do it. The microphones pick it up, and it's horrible.
Yeah,
yes.
We don't want to bust your eardrums. So.
Yes. Is it golf? Golf
yes,
clap.
It's golf. Yes. Many, many golf claps. Nice job, Dave Erickson. Good luck on whatever else you do. New showrunners, you got some big shoes to fill now at this point with season 3 being so good. Season 1 and 2, not so much.
It's Scott Gimple. Yeah. So.
No, it's not Scott Gimple. He's just an executive producer.
Okay.
It's the Once Upon a Time showrunners are.
Okay, that's
yeah,
right. That's
it's
right.
A duo. We got a duo coming on for Fear of the Walking Dead season 4. So.
All right.
Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We love your faces, and bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.